The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 13. A quick and exciting announcement about the Extra Pack of Peanuts site and podcast before we get to our show. In order to give you even more of what you want, we've just created a new page that will allow you to view all the upcoming podcast guests before we record with them. Each guest will have a short bio and links to their website so you can learn all about them. And this means that you can send me your questions for those guests, and I'll then pick out some and ask them live on the podcast.
Sweet.
To check out who is going to be on the podcast, head over to www.extrapackofpeanuts.com/podcast schedule, or you can also find it on the website in the drop-down menu under podcast. Now let's get on with the show with special guests Dave and Deb from theplanetd.com. Newfoundland is the only Canadian province that is officially bilingual. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, yeah, well, you don't have to worry, 'cause we're blowing it soon. And you don't have to worry. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today are both halves of Canada's adventure couple, whose travel experiences make most people's look pretty tame in comparison, Dave and Deb of theplanetd.com. Guys, thanks so much for coming on the show together, and a big, big welcome.
Well, thanks for having us, Travis. This is great. This is really exciting.
And I'm not sure if you guys know this, but this is the first time we've done a show with two people on the other side, so you're already breaking new ground here at the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast.
Ooh, that's very exciting. We love breaking new ground.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of it, a lot of really cool trips, and you're billed as Canada's adventure couple. So the first question on many people's minds, I think, will be what constitutes adventure travel. So what does the term adventure travel really mean?
Well, one of our taglines on our website is that adventure is for everyone. And that's something that I think has changed over the course of time. I think people used to think that you had to be this uber athlete or this really rich person to go out on expeditions, or you had to be doing something all your life. Whereas nowadays, people are looking for adventure, and it can be something very simple for someone who has never done it before. Just going to Asia for the first time can be an adventure to some people, whereas maybe climbing a mountain for the first time can be something for someone else. For us, it can be something as crazy as driving a car from England to Mongolia or cycling the continent of Africa. Adventure is a state of mind, and it can be different for everybody.
Yeah, so I thought I was getting on two super athletes who are never scared of anything. You're telling me that's not true.
No. Super athletes, no. Not scared of anything, no. We're still scared of things, for sure. You know, we're real people there. We're not those crazy adventurers like, you know, what is it, Raina Fiennes?
Yeah. Right.
Who are out there, you know, putting their life on the line. Adventure doesn't have to have you put your life on the line. All it has to do is inspire you to, you know, do more different things in your life.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people can relate to us a little bit more, is that we'll go out and try an adventure when we aren't really qualified to do it. But we'll show people that we're going to give it a go.
We've done a lot of that.
Yeah, we're going to do the proper training or learn what we need to do to get the job done and show people that, hey, you can do it too.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point about your website, is the fact that you guys are, you know, like you say, normal people doing things that might seem extraordinary. What type of planning sometimes goes into adventure travel before you actually do it then?
Well, the big adventures that we've done have taken a lot of planning. Like when we cycled the continent of Africa, you know, we trained for a year before we did that. And we weren't even really cyclists before that. We did some mountain biking, but, you know, we cycled 12,000 kilometers from the top of Africa to the bottom. And then when we did the Mongol Rally, that was more logistical planning and all that kind of stuff. So there's definitely planning that goes into it. You can't really go into something that's going to take 2 or 3 months of your life and not have some planning behind it. I think everybody benefits from that.
Yeah. And just to touch on that, then what are some of your biggest adventures? You've kind of talked about two already, but what are some of the big things that you've done then?
Yeah, definitely Cycling Africa started it all. And we've done some kayaking down in Antarctica. And that was something we planned for as well. We had we have done kayaking in the past, but then to go into cold water kayaking with brash ice, we thought we should take a little refresher course. So we went and revisited our learning how to do our wet exit and making sure that we were prepared for things like that. We've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and climbed to Everest Base Camp, and
We like climbing mountains. We do like doing treks
is a big thing that we really like to do. So get us out into the desert and we'll go for some treks through the jungle, anything like that. So.
And what, so then what got you on the adventure travel kick? Have both of you always kind of been adventurous on your own beforehand and then it just kind of coalesced into adventure travel? Or was it something that spurred you on and then you thought, well, now I can do this, this, and this because I've done, you know, something first?
It was definitely travel that got us onto adventure travel.
Okay.
We talked about how travel really changed our life way back in the year 2000. We took a trip to Thailand for 5 weeks. For us then, that was a huge amount of time, and it literally changed our life. Once we got to Thailand, we just tried all these new adventures that we'd never done before. We did rock climbing in Raleigh. We went sea kayaking. We trekked through the jungle. We rode an elephant. So it was all these new things that we were influence that just inspired us, and we went, wow, this is what life really can be instead of just going to bars and movies. So when we got home, we took that adventure lifestyle and inspiration into our home life, and we worked and traveled for the next 8 years, but we worked at home and then took vacations, like, you know, ranging anywhere from 2 weeks to 8 months over the next 8 years. But when it was about something that we really like to tell people is you don't have to travel forever to have an adventure. When we got home, we took up rock climbing in Ontario, Canada. We did scuba diving in the St. Yeah. Lawrence River and the Great Lakes. We started doing mountain biking. We had never done that before. So we took that inspiration from travel and then became these adventure lovers.
Yeah, and we found that it really, really added to our life at home. So the next time we went out to go traveling, we wanted to do some different adventures and you know, maybe, if you will, up it a little bit for us, you know, and keep challenging ourselves while we're out there traveling. Because I think if you step out of your comfort zone just a little bit each time you travel, then you know what? It's going to enrich your life, not only at home, but also the next time you travel. You know, you're going to find that, you know, you're going to want to try different things, and it's going to, you know, boost your confidence in life.
Yeah, I think, well, that's really neat, because I didn't know that story before, that, you know, kind of traveling spurred on the adventure part. I assumed, hey, these are just guys that always liked adventure. So when they traveled, it naturally led them to do adventure travel. But it's really cool that the travel is what made you start the adventure, and then you took it back. And like you said, you know, you can get a scuba diving certificate anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be in Thailand. It doesn't have to be in Australia. And you did that then when you came home. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And we try to tell people, I know people email us all the time and say, oh, I'm really depressed after traveling, or I can't go away and do a year of travel like you do. And we always say, just take those 2 weeks and do something different that you've never tried before and see how it inspires and changes your life. And it really can. And that's what it did for us. And we, before we started the travel blog, we just were like everyday people. We worked and then we traveled, and we always just did something extraordinary during our travels, and it made us more interesting at home. At least we felt more interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows what everyone else thought?
Who cares what everyone else thought, I guess. So you mentioned 2000, you went to Thailand. Before that, had you done much traveling, and what was kind of the purpose of going to Thailand? Why did you decide, oh, it's 2000, I need to leave Canada, I assume you were at that point, and then go all the way across the world to Thailand?
Well, you know, beforehand, we weren't like super going on a lot of travels. Like Deb said, we were like sort of everybody else, where we would, you know, maybe take a week or two and go away, or maybe not take a holiday for, you know, 3 or 4 years. Hmm. You know, it was never really part of our what we were doing at that time. So 2000 was a pivotal year for us, because it was we were at this point in our life where we basically felt stuck in a rut, and we didn't really know what to do to change it. And our relationship was also in a rut. So what we did is we decided to take off and head to Thailand for those 5 weeks and challenge ourselves and really, you know, do things that allowed ourselves as a couple to rely on each other. And those 5 weeks, as Deb said before, really changed our life. You know, we rebonded with our with each other, and we kind of you know, found out why we wanted to be together in the first place. And it ignited that spark again. So, and I think that's what made travel so appealing to us afterwards, because it was so life changing.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's, I've talked to a bunch of people about travel, and it's very rare that I hear someone tell me travel isn't life changing. And I think that's an amazing story. And I want to talk more about couples travel with you guys in a little bit, because I think that's an important segment that sometimes gets missed because there's so many solo travelers and all. Going back to the adventure travel thing, though, if someone was to want to start doing more adventure travel, they hear stuff that you've done, they think, well, I just don't want to go somewhere and sit at the beach, but I actually want to go kayaking, I want to go mountain climbing, stuff like that. What kind of tips do you have for them? Should they, you know, go with a company first, or should they try to plan something on their own? What type of adventure travel should they look into?
Well, what we always say is people should start small. You don't go and just sign up for the, well, you can if you want, but I say don't go just sign up for the Mongol Rally the first time out. Go and see if you even like something. Sign up for a week-long adventure. And it is great to sign up with a company, you know, like Intrepid Travel or one of these companies that have the really adventure side of traveling. You're in more of a comfort zone if you travel in a group. Or you can take the adventure closer to home. You can go on a kayaking trip just over the weekend. I say start small and then go bigger, you know. And even if you are a person who always likes to go to a resort, just take a couple days and do something different. The adventure travel is becoming so popular now that you can get off the resort for a couple of days and go try zip lining or go for a hike in the jungle or go scuba diving. There's so many things that you can do and you can just feel it out. It's so easy to add an element of adventure to your travels now.
Yeah. And I always say, make sure you do add that in, you know, like up here in Canada, you know, the all-inclusive vacation is such a huge part of the way people vacation up here. And, you know, I always say to people, it's great, you know, do an all-inclusive vacation, but maybe plan to spend 1 or 2 days off the resort, you know, go and try something off the resort. And just, as I said, you know, dip your toe in the water to see what it's like outside that experience. And if you do that, then, you know, travel can always evolve because it's so individual, right? You know, travel isn't the same for everybody. Someone who's who loves traveling by themselves may not want to go on a group tour, you know. But I do think a group tour is a great way to ease yourself into a difficult destination, say something like India or something like that, that's very, very challenging. You know, it can be a great way to ease your way in and then go back and explore it on your own afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable point. I've been to India once and it was very, very difficult. I probably tell the same story on every podcast because it was so different from anywhere I'd ever been. And me and my wife have actually said, like, if we go to China, and we've never done a group tour really, but we said, if we went to China, it'd be pretty neat to do a group tour, even though we've traveled a lot, because there is some value in that, in someone showing you around and you knowing what you're doing, especially in a country that might be very foreign. So I think that's an important point, that using a group, you know, might not be the worst thing, and it might actually be the best thing if you're someone who's hesitant to do something, especially maybe with adventure travel.
Yeah, and especially if it's, like you said, a culturally shocking country that you're going to go to, you know, plan a week, do a week with the tour, and then hop off the tour and do a week by yourself.
Sure.
You know, that way you've eased your way into the country with people who know it, and then you can add that adventure to go off to do it yourself afterwards.
Yeah, and I feel that you should do what makes you comfortable. Don't let people tell you what you should or shouldn't do. If you have avid travelers saying, oh, don't go on a group tour, but you feel comfortable on a group tour, then you should do it. Travel is supposed to make you happy. It shouldn't make you stressed and upset. So if you are going, my first time out, I want to be with a group, I'm going to do that. And maybe next time I won't, or maybe I'll love it so much, I'll keep doing it.
Yeah. Awesome point, Deb. I agree. It's supposed to make you happy. So no matter what it is that you're doing, I think the first step of going out and doing it, whether it's with a group, on your own, adventure travel, regular travel, you know, just go do it. And whatever you think is going to make you happy, do it. And then you'll find out, as you're there, probably what you'd rather do. So really good point. I've got to ask you, I think you guys are probably experts on this, I'm not sure, but about medical insurance and injuries regarding adventure travel and stuff, what type of medical insurance do you guys have when you're traveling? And also, have there been situations where you need a doctor or hospital in another country, and what type of care did you receive? Because I know a lot of people are very fearful of that when they travel.
Yeah, we have like year-long medical insurance that we have. We're being Canadian, we're very big on having insurance.
Yeah. So
we believe in having our coverage. And we've gone to hospitals all over the world. When I was in Africa, I had a bad fall and got a leg infection and had to go to a couple different hospitals there. We've been to the hospital in Thailand when we had a motorcycle accident. So it's just having that comfort that you don't have to worry about not having coverage. I think that it's the worst thing to have your vacation or your life really ruined by having medical bills the rest of your life. So we highly recommend travel insurance.
Yeah, and also make sure that you check any of the riders to the policy. You know, like if you're going skydiving and you get injured doing that, you're probably not going to be covered, or bungee jumping or any of that.
Right.
Kind of stuff. So, you know, make sure you check into the details, because, you know, even scuba diving, you know, like when we were scuba diving, we had separate DAN insurance, which covered us for that, which wasn't covered under our typical travel insurance. So make sure you read into the policy quite in depth, you know, so that you know what's covered and what isn't, because you really don't want any surprises when you're overseas.
Yeah. Is there any travel insurance company that you guys recommend or that you use?
We use American Express travel insurance.
All right.
Yes, we use American Express travel insurance. We find that they have amazing coverage. For us, we have unlimited with our American Express card, 45 days out of the country at one time, which is fantastic. And then when you come back in, it starts all over again.
Oh, great.
So that's one that we really think they have fantastic coverage. And that's been the one we've been using for several years.
Uh-huh. Well, we actually had a motorcycle accident in Thailand, too. I think kind of everyone who goes has to have a story like that.
I think so. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
But we were, me and my wife were very surprised at how well we were taking, well, she was the one who got hurt, but how well she was taken care of. And even without insurance without travel insurance at that point, which I don't recommend, but, you know, sometimes do as I say, not as I do. We had phenomenal coverage, and, you know, it was like $30 for an emergency room visit and stitches and medicine, you know, everything. And we were pretty blown away by how cheap it could be. But yeah, I think people shouldn't be as fearful, because they said to us, well, what if you get hurt? You know, all these places you're going. I said, you know, they do have doctors in other countries. Yeah.
And surprisingly, as you said, you know, the medical care that we've received in Africa, in Asia, has been fantastic, comparable, if not
better,
sometimes better than here in our home country. You know, we do the same. We always try and tell people that, you know, you don't need to be afraid of the medical system over there, because really, you know, they're just as efficient, competent, and 9 times out of 10, a lot cheaper than you'll ever get here in North America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, Thailand can be very cheap for travel insurance. So some people may think, oh, I don't need it. But you just never know what could happen. If you have a serious injury, you don't know what it will get or how bad it will be. Or you may have to be flown home or airlifted somewhere. So it's just good to have the full coverage, even though I agree with you, Thailand had super cheap coverage. We didn't even bother sending in our bills. We were like, I am not going to claim this. It's just too cheap.
Right. They said that to us too. Like, well, you can send this. We were in Japan at the time, living in Japan. So we had Japanese health insurance. Like, yeah, well, it might cover it. You can send it in. And I said, it's all right. I'll save the postage. It's $30, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is it then about traveling? You guys have hit on a little bit that you think is so important. Like, why do you continue to have that desire to keep going? Because now you've been traveling, I believe, full time for 4 or 5 years. Why do you want to keep seeing more? Why do you want to keep going to the next place and doing more things?
There's just so much more to see. I tell you, the more I travel, the more I see, I realize I haven't seen a lot at all. It's really funny how so many people ask us, have you been here yet? Have you been here yet? And most of the time, the first 5 or 6 places they mention, we go, no, we haven't been there. And yet we feel like we've been to so many places. So I think that it's a certain type of person. It's just is this wanderlust. We've always had it in us. We've always traveled a lot, even when we first met. A year of being together in the 90s, we just moved to Vancouver. So like from Toronto, and then we picked up a couple of years later and moved back. So it's just in our blood to keep traveling and keep exploring.
I do think though that everyone has a little bit of an explorer in them. And it's just whether that, you know, that, that part of you gets uncorked somehow, you know, that
good term.
I keep out there and doing more and more and more, you know, cause I think, you know, as human beings inherently, we want to get out there and see what else is out there. You know, that's why people are interested in space travel. We all want to know what's on the other side, and travel is no different than that. So, you know, for us, travel's invigorating.
Yeah.
You know, it's added so much to our life. And, you know, with the travel blog, it's great because we can share that with everybody. And I always say, if you can step out of that comfort zone just a little bit, it can change your life, even if you don't even know that it does.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And I always get asked, like, when are you going to be done? Like, like done traveling or whatever people mean. When are you going to be done? Or haven't you gone enough places or what, you know? And I just say to them, like, it's not some finite thing to me. You know, actually, the more I go, the more I want to continue to go because, that, like you said, that you realize you haven't seen that much. And even if you've seen it 3 years ago and you go back.
It's different.
Completely. So I think that's very important for a lot of people to understand. I think, Dave, like you said, once people do start traveling, I don't really find that people say, oh, that really sucked. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
So true.
Yeah,
it is true. You don't really hear that very often.
Right. Usually if people travel and have those experiences where they're out of their comfort zone and they grow a little bit, it usually just, you know, it almost bursts out of them. Like, I have to keep going. And whether they can or not is different based on family and job and stuff like that. But usually people, once you get that feeling, you kind of keep going as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about family here because I'm a married man, so I've traveled as a couple as well. A few weeks ago, we had Daylene Heck on, and she touched on like being a traveling couple briefly, but her husband Pete wasn't on the line to offer his side of the story. So now that we've got both of you on, I'd love to hear from you guys kind of what are the biggest challenges when traveling as a couple and how you guys deal with that?
I think that it's communication is the biggest thing. I think that Dave and I, we've been together for a very long time. We met in 1991. So I think we've mastered the art of communicating with each other. When we're annoyed with each other, we just say it. When we're happy with each other, we say it too. I think that sometimes we can take people off guard with our bluntness when we speak to each other. But I think that's what's helped us survive traveling for so long together. When we're traveling, if I don't want to do something, Dave will push me to do it. Like, I did not want to do the polar plunge in Antarctica, but he
literally pushed you, right?
Pushed me in. You encouraged me though. You said, come on, you can do it. So he inspires me to do something. So I think that we help each other step out of each other's comfort zones as well, because there's a lot of times where one person will want to do something. And we know before we traveled, many couples we knew just went their separate ways. They were like, well, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to take a separate vacation. And that always frustrated us because we were like, well, you're a couple. You should be together. You should enjoy each other's company and at least take an interest in what your spouse is interested in. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do in travel. If Dave wants to jump off something, well, I guess I'm going to have to follow. So I just think, I think that's the big thing, is being open to new ideas, new opportunities with each other.
Yeah, communication and compromise are definitely the two keys in traveling successfully as a couple. If you don't have those, if the communications aren't open, then you'll end up fighting the whole time, and you're not going to have a good time.
Believe it or not.
And I've had some of my most amazing travel experiences by doing things that I probably would not have done had I not been in a couple. So, you know, that's something else. You know, you get to experience different things and see things from a different perspective when you travel as a couple than if you travel as an individual.
Yeah. Do you take on certain roles when you travel? Is one of you more gung-ho to do certain things and the other isn't? Or is it kind of just you're almost like one unit now?
I think now we're becoming one unit, but we definitely take on different roles. Dave's more of the planner. I'm more of a let's just go with it and see what comes up. So I think that's also a good thing, because I think at least when we go somewhere, we have a plan. Otherwise, we'd be walking in circles. But I also think that if you didn't have me, if Dave would be probably rigid with his plan,
yes,
and not
definitely.
Be open to things, where I'll be like, hey, I heard about this. Let's change this idea and go for that there. So I think that we have our specific roles, but I think that they've complemented each other well.
That's a good way to put it, definitely.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. See, you guys are compromising even right there, making each other feel good.
I think that I want to just add, I think that so many people say travel, like a lot of people who aren't in a couple or who are a couple that doesn't travel, they always say, oh, it must be really hard to travel with your spouse. And we always say it really isn't. And I think it's just, you probably feel the same way. It's just the key to a relationship, to be open, honest, and talk about things. And you can have a great time together, and you don't have to think that it's going to be this difficult thing if you have, you know, if you're just open and honest with
each
other.
And you get to share your travel experiences with somebody.
Right.
I think that's another thing that has really, you know, really made adventure travel and travel so important to us, is that we're able to share our fears and our joys and our excitement with each other right there, you know, and I think that's really added to the travel experience for us.
Yeah. I would also say too, when you come home, at least for me and Heather, when we come home, since we've had that experience together, we've grown, obviously, why we were traveling, because we had to deal with issues that we wouldn't when we were at home. But even then, when we're at home, since we've shared that experience, there's a much tighter bond there than if I was to go off on my own and kind of, you know, maybe change on my own, come back, and she didn't feel the same way. So I think it's important also when you get back to kind of real life or maybe a little bit of normal life too.
I agree. 100%. Well said.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys too, how has traveling as a couple been different than solo traveling? Did you guys do much solo traveling on your own before me? I know that was a long time ago now, but are there any specific differences that you can point to?
I never traveled on my own, so I really can't say. I'm one of those people. I've only traveled with Dave, mm-hmm. So I don't know how I would be on my own. I would be lost all the time. Because that's the thing. Dave knows directions. I always turn right when we should be turning left. So, but yeah, I don't know. I just, this is the only thing I know. So I can't really say what it would be like to travel solo.
No, yeah, we're a bit of an anomaly that way, having been together since we were quite young, and, you know, having just sort of discovered travel together. So we never really had to travel independently on our own, except for maybe work here and there. But, yeah, it's hard. It's hard for us to compare, because
right.
We can't compare experiences.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's really important. You know, I get a lot of people telling me, you know, well, now that, you know, once I'm married, travel's going to change, or once I have a family, travel's going to change. And it is going to change. But I think it's an inspiration that you guys continue to travel even though you're married, because it might change, but I don't think it's always in the negative way that I feel like a lot of people think when they talk to me about it.
I know. I don't know why that is. I always think, well, why did you even get married then? together.
Change doesn't have to be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You know, change can be really good. It doesn't, you know, you can just look at and travel back to those places even, and you have a completely different experience. You know, so that's the joy of life in
right.
general, you know, is always keeping it fresh and always keeping it exciting.
Yeah. Again, well said. And I do. I'm in the same boat as you guys. I don't think people should think it's going to change negatively. Of course, it's going to change, but
yeah,
it doesn't have to be negative. You know, my website, Extra Pack Pants, and this podcast, we're all about inspiring people to travel. And your story has obviously done that. But we also focus on showing people how they can travel on any budget, and that you don't have to be rich to have rich travel experiences, something you've kind of already touched on. What are some of the best money-saving tips that you guys have when you're traveling? How do you keep costs down so that you can continue to travel to more places?
Definitely choose your location wisely. You can stretch your dollar so much farther. And there's a reason that everyone starts in Southeast Asia. It's because it's the most reasonable place to travel. So once you have that flight there, you can just make your, you can stretch your dollar. Mm-hmm. And traveling local, when we always, when we're traveling independently, we always just look for a local guide. You know, when you're looking at the package tours in North America to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, they're thousands of dollars.
Right.
We just landed at Kilimanjaro Airport, grabbed a taxi and went to Moshi ourselves and paid like $900 to climb Kilimanjaro. So you can save so much money by just finding local guides. And the companies from Canada and the U.S. are hiring local guides anyway.
Right.
So it's not any – that's who they're hiring. So you're getting the guys right off the ground. And eat at local restaurants. We just – when we're eating out, we just walk by and look for a busy place that the right. locals are in. We don't really follow the guidebooks. I think they were great in the 90s when we first started because not everybody was going. Now you look at the guidebook for a popular restaurant and it's packed with package tourists because yeah. that's where the tours are going.
Right.
We really say local. Do you have anything to add?
I think me being a bit of a planner, I think that research is important. And it's, the great thing is that it's easier than ever right nowadays, you know, but with travel blogs, with social media. And do a little bit of research before you go so that you have an idea of where you're going to be. And at least, you know, especially when you're landing, I always say my tip for going to a completely different city or a different country is make sure if you're going to Thailand or something like that, book a hotel or something for the first night so that right. you feel comfortable there. And then you can spend the next day looking around for a guest house or cheaper accommodation because, you know, it is a lot about budget, but it's also about experience. So you don't want to get there and hate the place as soon as you land. So if you do that, spend maybe a few extra dollars doing that. You'll have a richer experience later on.
Yeah, my wife would love you, Dave, because we've been in many a time where we've landed, not had a place to stay, and then that first night was a little, you know, unpleasant for both of us.
That's how we learned that.
Yeah.
We've had many an unpleasant first night, and we're like, why didn't we just spend the extra $20 for a proper hotel?
Right.
Book tomorrow when we could just leave our luggage instead of walking around with a backpack in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah. Driving around on the back of a motor scooter through Bali, like looking for somewhere that had vacancy or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you learn from experience, I guess. So.
Totally.
Hopefully I've learned my lesson. Now you guys are just reiterating it to me. It makes sense now. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys then is what are some of your favorite places, favorite things you've done, favorite memories you've had, you know, just in general, since you've been traveling now for, you know, well over 13 years?
Yeah, a lot of the places involve the people we've met. I think that everybody feels that way when you make new friends. I know in Sri Lanka, we had one of the most amazing experiences by making friends with a tuk-tuk driver, Ajis, and, you know, just going to a school that he was donating shoes to. He ran an NGO there, but he was a tuk-tuk driver. He was a guy that didn't have a lot of money, but he just cared about his society. Yeah. So he was always trying to make things better. And just going in India when we met Hussein, and he was building his own hotel. He was just a manager of a hotel, and now he's building his own. And things like that, I think a lot of things have been people we met.
Definitely, yeah.
And then, of course, the adventures we've had. New Zealand is one of the best adventure destinations on Earth. And
you can do everything.
Yeah, if you like adventure, it's the place to go.
And but then, also, like, for me, climbing to Everest Base Camp was a perfect combination of adventure and the people we met, you know, and the people of Nepal that made that experience so special. And not only pushing ourselves to the limit, because getting up there to base camp was not easy by any means, but it was an adventure that I'll never, ever forget. Every single day, stopping at the tea houses, our Sherpas who were with us, our guide, they made that experience so unforgettable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's almost always the people. I mean, you have the Facebook moments where, you know, your friends see you at the Eiffel Tower or something. And that's cool, of course, but they don't get the whole story. I find myself remembering people and small little places and things that I found as opposed to like kind of the big monuments and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And one, I mean, since travel isn't always perfect, are there any places, and, you know, I love travel as much as anyone else, but are there any places that you went to that really didn't live up to expectations, or maybe it was okay, but you're not too keen to go back to?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love to hear this also.
Yeah, we have the same as you. India, we gave it a good 3 months. So we tried hard. And while we met great people and made amazing friends, it just didn't – I didn't see it as the place that everybody else does. I didn't see it as this – I don't know. I think it wasn't for us at all. How about, do you want to add to that?
No, I think there were elements that were great, but the overall experience wasn't maybe what we thought it was going to be. So, I think that's, and 3 months was a good amount of time to give it, I thought. So, it's not the highest on our list to head back to anytime soon.
Gotcha. Well, what about doing biking through Africa? Will you ever do that again?
That was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Dave fared a lot better than me. He just loved, you love the getting up in the morning, the simplicity.
The simplicity of it all. Yes.
He calls it the simplicity of, you call 120 kilometers a day simple. But he loved like the fact that you didn't have to worry about anything else.
It was a schedule, you know, because in our life, we worked freelance in film beforehand. And now running our own travel blog, you know, it's all very flexible. So for me, it's kind of weird. Maybe the treat was, or the enjoyable part of it was how rigid it was. You know, we had to ride this far every day, get into camp, you know, eat, set up your tent, go to sleep, get up in the morning, do the exact same thing for 4 months.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not for everybody, as Deb can attest to, you know, so it was a lot difficult for you, a lot more difficult for you than it was for me. But that was, I don't know whether I'd do it again. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I would cycle the continent again. I'd do it in maybe in a different way and spend a little bit more time in the countries we were in. But it definitely was a unique way to see the country, to see the continent.
Yeah, we are interested in doing something similar to that again. So that's the funny thing. It's like when you do a big climb or something, you say, while you're doing it, never again. And then how quickly you forget a couple of weeks later.
Right, right.
And so I think that we do something similar again. But I admit, and I keep reminding myself, I had a really tough time. I just dreaded getting up every morning and having to cycle 120 kilometers every day. I can't believe I did it for 4 months.
And now you're finished, though. Now you can say you've done it.
Oh, yes. Yes, many years ago now.
And I know you mentioned then you try to do kind of like an epic trip every 2 months with, you know, the biking all the way through Africa being 4 months. You did the Mongol Rally. How long did you say that was? 6 weeks?
Yes. Yeah.
Is there anything on the horizon as your next epic trip then?
Ah, that's a good question. We're just actually trying to figure something out for next year. Yeah, we've been trying to do every 2 years, actually, something every other year. And we should be doing it this year, which we didn't, although we just did a 10-day kayaking trip circumnavigating an island in Baja. It wasn't 2 months, but to many people, that would be an epic trip.
Sure.
It was no showers. It was, 10 days of solid kayaking. So we're kind of chalking that one up as our epic one, but we're looking for something for next year.
There's things we want to do for sure. It just depends on what we work into the schedule for next year.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different world now. We do make our living off our travel blog, and we have sponsors now, and we have obligations, and we absolutely love being able to do this, and we're just so lucky that we can do this. It does, although that does say it makes things a little bit harder to take 4 months off and go cycle a continent. So now we have to plan things that are a little bit shorter and be a little smarter about things. Mm-hmm.
What is the plan then? How far in advance do you guys usually plan? And like, do you know where you're going to be for the rest of this year or anything like that?
We know where we're going to be for most of the rest of this year. Yeah. We normally do 6 months. We have several trips on the go from, we're going up to the Arctic Circle with Quark Expeditions to, we're doing Iceland and we're doing, we have Aruba. We even are doing Viking River cruise at one point later in the year. So yes, we always try to plan about 6 months in advance. Now it's even getting
farther
ahead. We're already even talking to some people about next March, but we try to keep it 6 months in advance.
Wow. You guys are pretty on the ball for travel bloggers. Usually it's, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be in 3 weeks, but you know, I'll take it as it goes. So
yeah. We found it's easier to do it this way. If you can at least have, some sort of travel schedule, it makes it a lot easier on you in the long run, I think.
Yeah, we've been trying this year to at least get a week or so off in between travels. The past 2 years have been pretty much back to back of crisscrossing the globe, which is absolutely amazing, but it's exhausting at the same time. So now we're trying to plan things a little bit farther where we have at least a week to...
And have more rhyme or reason to our travel, if you will.
Gotcha.
And time to get it up and share it with our readers, because that's what it's all about. We want to share the experiences and inspire them to go try the place out.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job with that. One of the things that's amazing about your site is the photography, and I don't know who's responsible for that. But how did you guys, whichever one of you it is, and or maybe it's both, how did you guys get so freaking good at the travel photography? Because my stuff is pretty bad at this point.
It's all Dave.
That's me. Who's
I'm going to go have a
coffee
now.
Photographer. It's been a passion of mine for quite a long time. So I used to work in the film industry, and I was the head of the lighting department, a gaffer for like 15 years. So I worked a lot with light. So it was kind of a natural progression for me. I learned a lot from a lot of great cinematographers working in the industry. So, you know, to go out there and be able to capture the beauty of this world, and, you know, it's something that's been a real passion of mine. So I put a lot into it, and I spend a lot of time, as Deb can attest to, planning where we're going to photograph, going there to photograph, humping all my gear all over the place. You know, it's always great for the person who has the passion for it. I try and get Deb to carry some gear for me, or, but you know, she has a great eye as well. So it's helped me out in my photography as well, being able to have sort of two sets of eyes looking at a location from two different views. You know, it allows me to capture maybe some different angles of places that have been shot quite a lot. So, I spend a lot of time at home, post-processing my images and stuff like that. And, you know, I've learned a lot being on the road, because being a travel photographer is a lot different than being a studio photographer. That's for sure.
Well, all of us, myself and everyone listening who's gotten to see your photography, really appreciates it, because it is really, really awesome. I think I've looked through your pictures of Switzerland that you put up at least like 15 times now. So,
thank you. You know, I enjoy it so it's just immensely, and it really, for me, adds to the travel experience. And, you know, and of course, being able to share it with everybody, that's even better, you know?
Yeah. Well, you do a phenomenal job with it. And Dave and Deb, both of you guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a blast doing the interview with two people on the other side, twice as much fun, twice as much knowledge. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much, Travis.
That was great fun.
Before I let you go, tell people how they can connect with you online, you know, where they can find you, Twitter, your website, everything like that, so that they can come look at that photography and read all the awesome stories you have.
Okay, well, you can find us at our website at theplanetd.com. On Twitter, we're The Planet D. On Facebook, we're The Planet D. On Instagram, we're also The Planet D.
On Google Plus, we're Dave Fabskill, though.
Yes. If you want to find me on Google Plus, and I share a lot of my photography there, it's Dave Fabskill you can look for.
All right.
Fabskill.
Yeah. Oh, this is an odd moment. We actually said a last name of Dave and Deb.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's true.
Oh, should I edit it out? Oh,
no. No.
Well,
we're just lazy that we became Dave and Deb. We're like, nah, no last names.
Right.
Sonny and Cher of travel blog.
And that says our age.
Well, that's awesome, guys. I will make sure to link all of that up in the show notes. And once again, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks again, Travis. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Guys, if you want to be inspired by some truly awesome travel photography and travel stories, head on over to theplanetd.com and be prepared to be wowed by some of the stuff Dave and Deb are doing over there. If you've been listening today and thought, man, I need to start traveling more and seeing the world, I'm super excited to announce that we've just launched a brand new program called Frequent Flyer Bootcamp, where I'll be taking a small group of people and walking them through how to go from a beginner or intermediate level of frequent flyer knowledge to becoming an expert and really traveling around the world for almost free. We're going to have video tutorials, live question and answer segments, and a private community, and we'll be guaranteeing that at the end of the boot camp, you'll be going to your dream destination. I'm really excited about getting to dig in and teach a small group of people, and if you'd like to apply, head on over to extrapackofpeanuts.com/frequent-flyer-bootcamp. Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in, and don't forget to send your questions for the upcoming podcast guests. Until next time, happy free travels. Yeah, well, you don't have no worries.
it's blowing in. Now you don't rock the world.